It's crazy to think just how close the Chiefs are right now to being undefeated. And then the conversation would be completely different. We'd be at the bye week, five games left, one game versus a team with a winning record, that being the Chargers, a team that you beat all the time. That game's being played at Arrowhead Stadium, a place where you win all the time. Don't get it twisted. The conversation today, Thanksgiving morning, had the Chiefs won versus New England. Not a huge stretch to say that. They went on the road. Patrick Mahomes played a terrible first quarter. They lost the game by three. Chiefs could have and should have won that game. And then anybody that watched the Monday Night Football game, which I think was the most entertaining football game at any level that I've ever seen. The only thing about that game that I will say negative is this. People want to give a lot of credit to Andy Reid for being an offensive guru. And if at this point you don't think he is the quarterback genius that people describe him to be, Donovan McNabb, Mike Vick, Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes, then you're just watching something else. The proof is in the pudding. Andy Reid is a quarterback genius and an offensive guru. If you look across the field at Sean McVay, what were the Rams the year before they hired him? The worst team in football, 2-14. And then all of a sudden, Jared Goff, let's not pretend like people thought that Jared Goff was going to be the next coming, the next Brett Favre. I get it. He was a number one overall pick, but he didn't have the same pedigree coming out of college, like say a Baker Mayfield with the Heisman Trophy or when Andrew Luck came out or Peyton Manning, nothing like that. He was just another guy, another number one overall pick. And it worked out. Let's not pretend like Brandon Cooks or Robert Woods or any of these guys are frontline wide receivers. Now, Todd Gurley is the truth, and we could see that coming from the first time he touched the football. But the Rams' offense, pound for pound, player for player, isn't close to as talented as the Kansas City Chiefs. If we started to make a list, best quarterback in the league right now, some people are going to say, it's still Aaron Rodgers. Some people are going to tell you, it's Tom Brady. He's MVP last year, right? You're going to get a few different answers. Drew Brees. I would say, based on what he's actually done, it's Patrick Mahomes. He's been better than anybody that's played that position this season. Look across the field. Jared Goff. He's been good, not great. Same list. Where do you rank Jared Goff? Best quarterbacks in the league this year. 7, 8, 9, 10, something like that. The Chiefs have the better quarterback. Those wide receivers that I just mentioned, the Chiefs, you could argue, have the best in the league. 1,100 receiving yards and 11 touchdowns after 11 games. I'm not good at math. I failed it three times at KU. But I can do that math. Through 11 games, 1,100 yards and 11 touchdowns means by the end of the season, Tyreek Hill is going to have 1,600 yards and 16 touchdowns. That's elite. Not just top 10. Not just borderline top five like we thought maybe he could be. One best in the league. And sometimes it takes a while to call a wide receiver that's the size of Tyreek Hill the best in the league until about 2 or 3 years after he actually is. Exhibit A, Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's been the best wide receiver in the league the last 4 or 5 years. But 2 or 3 years ago, we were still talking about Dez Bryant and Calvin Johnson and Mike Evans. Why? Because they look the part. They're 6'4". They've got those great hands, yards after the catch. That's not what Antonio Brown looks like. That's what his stats look like. That's what his production looks like. Maybe that's just a new wave of elite wide receiver. Maybe it's the new trend in the NFL where instead of the big, burly guy that can get up and jump and high point the ball, it's become more about speed. But it's not like Tyreek Hill is just a speedster. Yeah, he's got the nickname the Cheetah. And coming out of college, that is what he was. He was a glorified punt and kickoff returner that every team in the league had a chance to draft 5 rounds before the Chiefs actually ended up doing it. But if you want to talk about incremental improvement from what this guy did year 1 to year 2 to year 3, and then as this season's gone along, Tyreek Hill has been nothing short of incredible. When they got him, he was a glorified punt and kickoff returner, and it took about, a month and a half for us as Chiefs fans to be like, hey, yeah, maybe this guy, maybe he's a pretty good wide receiver. And then by the end of the season, we went, hey, he's good. And then year 2 came around, and we went, hopefully he can take the next step. By the end of last season, heading into this year, we were all saying the same thing. Man, Tyreek Hill is like borderline elite. He's a real deal. Well, here we are on pace for 1,600 receiving yards and 16 touchdowns. So if you want to compare the Chiefs quarterback to the Rams quarterback, the Chiefs is far better. The Chiefs number one wide receiver to whoever the Rams have, Cooks or Woods, Chiefs are far better. Tight end, I'm not even sure who the tight end is on the Rams. I know the Chiefs have the best in the league, Travis Kelce. And I'm not going to argue that Kareem Hunt is a better running back than Todd Gurley. But I'll tell you this, he's a better running back than anybody in the league not named Todd Gurley. So in my opinion, the Chiefs have the second best running back, the best tight end, the best wide receiver, and the best quarterback. All sunshine and daffodils, right? It's all gravy, baby. Offensive guru as a head coach. Couple of problems. Stay on the line with me, Reggie. I'm going to get to you in just 1 second, but couple of problems. One, the defense. Thank you, Captain Obvious. As good as this offense is, the defense is worse. Maybe by the numbers, that doesn't actually play out. And I think this offense, as the season goes along, can beat anybody, can outscore anybody. But I also think that those other elite offenses have no trouble at all putting up 35, 40, heck, 50, 53. The Chiefs put up 50 points and lost on Monday night. The Chiefs put up 40 points earlier this year and lost to the Patriots. In games where they've scored a combined 90 points, in 2 games, those are the 2 Chiefs losses. That should scare you. And that's not what I'm trying to do this Thanksgiving morning. I'm trying to be positive, Mr. Glass half full. But the truth is, as all-time great as this offense is, the defense is even worse. That's big issue number 1. And here's big issue number 2. And I saw this versus the Rams, and it played out, and it's so frustrating. Because we were just talking about Andy Reid, and you can't say anything to the contrary that he's an offensive genius and a quarterback guru and any other compliments you want to give that guy when it comes to his play-calling ability and putting points on the board. He is incredible. He is awesome. He's amazing. Borderline Hall of Famer. And I would say the same thing with Sean McVay. Save the borderline Hall of Famer. Offensive genius, a guru, great with the quarterback. He's proven that in just a couple of years. Then why is their clock management so pedestrian? I don't get it. I've got a nephew that's 7 years old that plays Pop Warner football, and his head coach, Phil, I don't even know what his last name is much better, significantly better at managing the clock toward the end of the game than Sean McVay and Andy Reid, NFL head coaches. The Chiefs were down by 10 points heading into the fourth quarter, and the Rams had the ball. Oh, I don't know. Just a suggestion here. Maybe you should run the football. Maybe you should try to take some time off the clock. You've got a 10-point lead and the ball in the fourth quarter. What do the Rams do? Quick 3-and-out. Chiefs get the ball. 80-yard touchdown to Tyreek Hill. All of a sudden, they're down by 3. Quick turnover 30 seconds later. And literally, in 90 seconds of time, the Rams went from a 10-point lead to a 4-point deficit in the fourth quarter. That's awful clock management. And then what happens when the Chiefs finally take the lead and get the ball back? You would think maybe they try to take some time off the clock, you know, chew it up, grind it a little bit. They throw the ball. There was literally, I don't know, a half a dozen more possessions in that game on Monday night than there had to be. In my opinion, I don't care how good your offense is or how bad your defense is. At any point, as professional football players, which I believe is what we're dealing with, if your team has a lead by double digits in the fourth quarter, they should win that game. instead of it going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And frankly, those are my two biggest concerns of why the Chiefs won't win the Super Bowl. Because I think they can. And if you gave me a free $1 million bet, I'm putting it on the Chiefs. But my two biggest concerns that could cost this team, the defense and the clock management. How could a Hall of Fame coach like Andy Reid still be so bad at that particular aspect of the game? Let's go out to Anaheim this Thanksgiving morning. Let's get Reggie on the line. What's up, Reg?
Hey, man. Happy Thanksgiving, brother. How you doing?
Same to you, bro. Long time no talk. How's it going?
Yeah, man. Hey, man. I'm out here grinding like glass on gravel, man.
I know that's
Listen.
Right.
two quick points.
Yeah.
I just want to submit this to you. I think, man, when it comes to defense, bro, we might have to look at defense differently now. Because now I know that's hard for us that grew up watching football in the 90s and in the early 2000s. But the game has changed dramatically, which changes defense dramatically as well. There was a stat, there was a comment that said, hey, there's no good defenses this year. I don't think it's not that there's no good defenses. I just think that the offense has so far and away the advantage to where it skews how we look at defense. My dad said that last night. He said, man, I'm in a huge dichotomy here because I'm forced to have to recalibrate how I've been watching the game for 40 years. So the Chiefs defense isn't good, but we have to figure out and find out what the baseline is for good.
Reg,
good defense now.
Before you make your second point, you just kind of opened my mind because you're exactly right. It's not, it's kind of like life, man. There's not always going to be a great decision, but there's always going to be a best decision. There's always a best decision that you can make. And so there has to be a best defense in the NFL, right? Somebody has to have the best defense, but when we look at the numbers, they're probably not going to look like the Steel Curtain or the Baltimore Ravens that we've gotten used to.
No. Yeah, no. And also, I think that defense now is not black and white anymore. Defense is just a shade of gray because the offense has just such the advantage that it just makes good defenses not look so great. And then the second point I wanted to make was, man, you know, we as Chiefs fans have been, the veil has been lifted off of our eyes. You know what I'm saying? Like they say in church, I was once blind, but now I see.
Hallelujah, Reggie.
The quarterback, man, has been the issue in Kansas City since Lynn Dawson, man. And the Chiefs organization trying to do it the other way, trying to do it with defense and ball control, it hasn't worked. And that is the reason why we're seeing it in front of our eyes, that Alex Smith was a good spare tire. But a spare tire can't take you on a road trip. You need to put a real tire on there. And Patrick Mahomes is a real tire that can take us on a road trip to the Super Bowl. At the very least, you're guaranteed an AFC championship game with a franchise quarterback. And that's what we have been missing in Kansas City all this time. I'm just now realizing it, like, yo, it really was the quarterback. Alex Smith, his limitations didn't get the most out of Andy Reid. So I just wanted to be thankful for that, man, that we finally have stepped into the 21st century. And for once in our lives, we are ahead of the curve. And we're not behind the curve.
Everybody always told me that, Reggie. It was kind of like, you know, you're in a relationship with a girl and it's like a little bit toxic, but it's still okay. You can still bring her around to family events and you guys still have some good times, but it's kind of volatile, right? It's not as good as it possibly could be. Sometimes it takes an outsider to tell you that, right? Like, look, man, she's really, really pretty, but I'm not so sure she's concerned about your future, or she doesn't want to have kids and you want to have a family. Like, it's just not going to work long term. That's what everybody always told me about Alex Smith. And I was such an Alex Smith defender because of the bottom line, because he won games. I'm going to try to get this stat right. In the last 5 years, quarterbacks not named Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, or Ben Roethlisberger, the only guy that's won more games is Alex Smith. So I was a bottom line guy always when it came to Alex. I was a defender of his because I thought, hey, it was good enough. And like Reggie points out, maybe Alex Smith is just a reincarnation. I probably shouldn't talk smack on him right now because he's probably on some serious like hydrocodone based on the fact that his leg twisted 15 different ways on Sunday. But Alex Smith is Steve Bono, is Dave Craig, is Trent Green, is Elvis Gerbach. I can keep going, but I won't. We thought that Patrick Mahomes was going to represent not having a ceiling. All those other guys, even though you might have gone 13-3 and had a number one overall seed, made it to the Pro Bowl a couple of times in the case of Alex Smith and Trent Green, there was still a ceiling. There was still a cap. We all knew as Chiefs fans, they're not going to win a playoff game because of this guy. They might lose one, but they're probably not going to go out there and win a game based on their quarterback. Oh, how times have changed. I guess my only concern at this point when it comes to Pat is as good as he's been. And we built this guy up in the offseason to be the next coming, and he's been even better than that. We built this guy up in the offseason for a couple of reasons. One, because he looked the part, right? Young, sexy, fun. The Chiefs traded up to get him, played at Texas Tech, got the big right arm, wears the bandana. Never says the wrong thing. You can tell he likes being in Kansas City. It had been so long since the Chiefs drafted, 30-plus years since the Chiefs drafted a quarterback that was supposed to win games for them. We had seen so many retreads. We built this guy up in the offseason to the point where whatever Patrick Mahomes did, there was no way. It was just going to be impossible to live up to those expectations. If he was a basketball player, we said he's going to come out and score 30 points a game and pull down 15 rebounds. If he was a baseball player, we would have said, oh, he's going to come out there and hit 55 home runs, play at Gold Glove center field, and knock in 140 RBI. As a football player, we were like, yeah, he's going to go out there and hopefully win us 11 or 12 games, maybe throw for like 30 touchdowns, and hopefully once the postseason comes around, he can do what Alex Smith did it and win us a game. Reality check, guys. 37 touchdowns, best quarterback rating in the league, over 3,600 passing yards. Times have changed. 576-7610, those are the digits. The text line is 69306. I said we'd talk Les Miles, and we will. But coming up next, we take a trip back inside the mind of the machine right here on 610 Sports Radio. What is it? I'll tell you what, DJ Julio Sanchez. This sounds like the beginning to a 70s adult film.
No, it sounds like saying, the beginning of like Roseanne. Like the opening to Roseanne or something.
Actually, yeah, it does. Ah, Roseanne. How far south things have gone for her. She's off the show, but the show's still on TV.
They killed her, but they continued with the show.
Yeah, like, hey, how about the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with no Will Smith? How about Frasier with no Frasier?
Actually, talk about a slap in the face.
You'd probably like that. You're a Frasier hater, aren't you?
I hate Frasier.
Love me some Frasier Crane. Julio Sanchez, sports machine Sean Levine, taking you up until 3 o'clock right here on 610 Sports Radio and all over the world on the radio.com app. Coming up in about a half hour, Julio's going to ask me who's higher. At some point, we're going to welcome on Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride. And before we get out of here, we're going to play a game of Super Bowl Tinder. Am I swiping left or am I swiping right? Lots of white swipes for that. Right swipe for this guy, let's be honest.
I was going to go there, but I'm glad you did.
Instead of going there, how about you take us back inside the mind of the machine? You don't talk about another man's Tinder game.
Tinder game is strong with you, sir.
Thank you.
I already know this. LeBron James returned to Cleveland last night to play the Cavs. This time as a Laker, were you surprised by the crowd's response?
No. How could they not cheer? What did you think was going to happen? You thought they were going to boo LeBron James? What is Cleveland basketball? What does Cleveland sports have if they don't have LeBron James? This dude came back to your city. Well, I guess, okay, he didn't come back to twice. He came back once. Drafted by the team, leaves the team, comes back to the team, leaves the team again. Here's the thing, Cavs fans. When he left you, he didn't leave you for Indianapolis. He didn't leave you for Oklahoma City. He didn't leave you even for New York. The weather sucks in all those places. He left you for Miami and for L.A. You can't blame the guy. Not to mention, the second that he leaves, who's got the worst record in the entire NBA? Wait for it. Wait for it. The Cleveland Cavaliers. That roster was horrible, even with LeBron on it. But LeBron covers a whole lot of warts. Cleveland never really gave LeBron James a fair shot, either putting a team around him or, more importantly, with a head coach. Here's the head coaches LeBron James played for as a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers: Paul Silas, Mike Brown, Brendan Malone. That's not a real person. That can't be. Paul Silas, Mike Brown, Brendan Malone, David Blatt, Ty Lue. Cleveland, you can't complain that LeBron James left Cleveland for Miami, for Los Angeles, when he's played for Silas, Malone, Brown, Lue, and Blatt. Sounds like a terrible law firm. What's next?
I mean, they do have the late, great Baker Mayfield.
Is he dead?
No, but I feel like his name is. One of the hot Christmas gifts this year is supposed to be Mario Kart for the new Nintendo Switch. Is Mario Kart the best game involving Mario?
Yeah, it's the best game involving Mario, even though I always race with either Princess Peach or Bowser. I like Bowser. He kind of weighs it down a little bit so you don't spin out quite as much, especially when you hit the banana peels.
I'm over a Toad fan.
Yeah, too slow and squatty. Mario Golf was a great game, but it doesn't make my top five. Can we count Luigi's Castle? Because that was more Luigi's game.
That's still in the realm.
Mario All-Stars. Mario 2, just outside of my top five. Here's my top five. Number five, Mario Tennis. Number four, maybe the biggest video game ripoff of all time, Dr. Mario. I mean, Tetris comes
so
out.
Addicting,
Tetris comes out, and then Mario's going to be like, yeah, let's just throw Mario on there and rename it. Basically have the exact same game. Yeah, let's call it Dr. Mario. Number three, the original Mario Brothers. Number two, Mario 3, way ahead of its time. And you already mentioned the GOAT, Mario Kart. What's next?
I'd have to throw Mario 64 on there somewhere. Have you noticed this new trend of NFL players trading jerseys after the game? If you could have any jersey from any time right off the player's back, who would it be?
It's a hell of a good question. Probably Mario Chalmers after he hit the three to tie the national championship game versus Memphis. Maybe Eric Hosmer after he... Was that considered a steal of home plate in the World Series versus the Mets? Because you actually get, like, the dirt on the jersey. That's what I like. Yeah. It's one thing to go to somebody's man cave that have a bunch of framed jerseys. Like, that's really, really cool. It's another thing to go to a guy's man cave that has a bunch of framed autographed jerseys. That's even cooler. Have you ever been to somebody's house that has the actual, like, the actual jerseys? Like, the stains are still on the jerseys? That's when you've got a badass man cave.
Let me get this right. Of any jersey at any time in sports history, you're choosing Hosmer and Chalmers over Babe Ruth or Michael Jordan or Hank Aaron. Any of these people, that's who you choose. I just want to clarify.
I suppose for monetary value, since I'm probably going to put it on Craigslist right away, you're right. I'm going to go with an old Babe Ruth jersey.
Okay.
But frankly,
after he makes the call,
autographs are dumb, man. I'm sorry. I know that a lot of people don't feel that way, but I think that somebody's signature is kind of... I don't think memorabilia is dumb, especially game... That's awesome. Like, for example, one of my prized possessions is I have the game ball from Allen Fieldhouse when Michael Beasley, the only time he played at Allen Fieldhouse, scored 39 points against KU. I've got the game ball. Here's how it worked. I was a student broadcaster at the time. After the game, Sherron Collins had the ball in his hands, and he took it, and he threw it straight up in the air. It took a couple of bounces, and it landed at my feet. What was I supposed to do? I picked up the ball. I'm looking around to give it back to somebody. Nobody made me give it back to him.
Take it and run.
Took it home. What's next?
Even after being previously suspended for child abuse yesterday, Adrian Peterson said he still disciplines his kid with a belt. Your thoughts?
That's crazy. It's 2018. We all come from different parts of the country. We all come from different backgrounds. And I'm not a parent, so maybe I'm not the one to speak on this, because if I'm being completely frank, my parents spanked me growing up. My parents spanked us growing up, and you could say that it made me into the man that I did, or you could say, that's why he is the way that he is. But with a belt, bro? Come on, it's 2018. And then he went on to say, this is Adrian Peterson, and I quote, I had to discipline my son and spank him the other day with a belt. And then he went on, comma, Sometimes I make him do wall squats or take away his electronics. AP, here, just take my advice.
Good for him.
Just real quick, just take my advice. I'm not a parent, and I'm not going to give you any advice on football because I'm surprised you're still playing, and you're going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. So just take a little bit of, like, just human advice here for just a second. Reverse the way that you're punishing your kid and cut the belt out of it. You start with the belt, and then you go to the wall squats, and then you take away the electronics. Try this. Take away the Xbox first, then make him do the wall squats. And if those don't work, don't resort to the belt. Just ground the kid for eternity, like my parents did. Actually, my dad. You know how you hear about parents threatening to cut off the top of your door? Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Mitch Levine cut off the top of my door in high school. Physically cut off the top of my door. It sucked. What's next?
Good for him. Oh, there was a big deal made earlier this week when Heinz offered Pat Mahomes free ketchup for life if he throws 57 touchdowns. Is ketchup even a top five condiment? It's a silly question.
Why is it a silly question?
Because it's obviously a top five condiment.
I actually have it at number six. Here's my list. Honey mustard, 5. A good honey mustard can go on anything. Number 4, mayo. Number 3, sriracha. Number 2, soy sauce. Number 1, ranch.
So this is a personal list for you. This is not just a general.
This is not a fact, if that's what you're asking. No, yes.
Okay, because soy sauce is definitely not number 2.
I was doing some research, and what is G-O-C-H-U-J-A-N-G? Gucci Gang? Gucci Gang? What? Gucci Gang? Gucci Gang? What is that?
I have no clue. It's pretty entertaining to hear you pronounce it, though.
Last one.
For the gambling degenerates out there.
G-O-C-H-U-J-A-N-G. According to a list that I found with the best condiments, it came in at number 13. I believe that it's pronounced Gucci Gang.
What is it?
Like, I don't know. We'll do some research during the break, and we'll let everybody know what G-O-C-H... Listen, what is it like? If you're not eating turkey this afternoon covered in Gucci Gang, then I'm not interested in your turkey.
We're going to come back to this.
All right.
For the gambling,
I'll take my stuffing with Gucci Gang. I'll take my pie with Gucci Gang.
Okay, so what is it? Is it like soy sauce based? Is it like a ranch based?
Honestly,
thing?
I have no idea. We'll have to find out in the break.
Moving on. For the gambling degenerates out there, can we get 3 Levine locks for the weekend?
Yeah, I can do that for you. Let's see. This afternoon, actually, it's going on like as we speak. Julio will get you an update, I assume, at some point if he wants to. Detroit getting 3 points at home versus a Da Bears. Da Bears without Mitchell Trubisky, I'm taking the 3. Dallas gives up 7 points at home on Sunday versus the Redskins. I don't know how the Redskins are 6-4. I don't think they're going to win another game without Alex Smith. Dallas covers that game. And Carolina at home. Carolina is 6-4, but they're literally 2 plays away from being 8-2 and being in the same conversation with the Chiefs and the Patriots and the Steelers and the Texans and the Saints and all these elite teams in the NFL. They're right on the cusp. They're at home, only giving up 3 points to Seattle. I'm giving up the 3. Julio, I'm looking at you.
It's Gaucho Jane.
It looks like you have something to say.
Now that I'm looking at it.
It's Gucci Gang.
Or
okay, then what's Gaucho Gang if you're so smart over there?
It's like a red chili pepper paste. I'm familiar.
Love some Gaucho Gang. Julio Sanchez, sports machine Sean Levine, coming up next. We're going to talk sports right here on 610 Sports Radio. Thanksgiving morning, got my man Julio Sanchez keeping me company. And you, I'm merely the sports machine, Sean Levine. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us right here on 610. We'll talk some Les Miles coming up at some point on the show. About an hour from now, we'll talk Chiefs with Arrowhead Pride's Pete Sweeney. We got to step back inside the mind of the machine. And at some point, we're going to go back to college. Also talk a little bit of college football and basketball, because there's a lot of exciting stuff going on. Basketball, I mean, you've got 2 of the best teams in the country in football. David Beatty's gone. How many of the other local football coaches are gone at the end of the season? On the text line, how do I pronounce it, Julio? Gauchujang. Gauchujang is a badass Asian condiment. If you like sriracha, then you would like it too. It's like a smoky version that you can mix with other sauces. All right, see? I figured that today's the day not just to talk sports, but to talk gauchujang or whatever it's called. Because people are out there cooking. Maybe they want to put a little bit of that Gucci gang on their turkey or their stuffing or their pumpkin pie.
We're multicultural around here.
Make it taste a little bit better. Text line open till 3 at 69306. Let's get back into the Kansas City Chiefs. Kenny, stay on the line. I'm going to get to you here in just a second. When we had our guest on earlier, I was talking about how tested this team is. We've seen 13-3 Chiefs teams, right? We've seen teams since Andy Reid has been here that had big playoff leads. You guys remember that, right? I'm not just dreaming. That actually happened last year versus Tennessee, 5 years ago versus the Colts, right? These things actually happen. The difference between those teams and this one, those teams weren't really tested. I mean, really tested. Yeah, certainly they played a tough 3, 4, 5 games on their schedule because all NFL teams do. They probably had a 1 month stretch where they played all teams above 500. You can't be a more tested football team based on your schedule, who you played, when you played them, and how you played them than the 2018 Kansas City Chiefs. It's impossible. If you think about out the gates, first two games of the season on the road, that's already a very difficult thing to do, especially with a first-year full-time starting quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. On the road at the Chargers, on the road at Pittsburgh. When the Chiefs played Jacksonville, Jacksonville was a good football team. They were above 500, and they were coming off of an AFC Championship game appearance. You know why Jacksonville sucks? You know why Jacksonville's completely hit the skids? Because of the Chiefs. Look at what's happened since that team came into Arrowhead Stadium and got exposed by the red and gold. That quote-unquote elite defense has become very average. But that's a hell of a test. And then the next week, it's another big test. Greatest coach and quarterback of all time on the road. And then in theory, things were supposed to get easier. Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals were what, like 4 games over 500? At the time of that game, they were a good football team. And then what we just saw versus the Rams. The only break the Chiefs have gotten this entire season on the schedule, 11 games in, I guess there's 2 of them. At Cleveland, that's a game the Chiefs were always going to win every season, no matter the circumstances, and at home versus Arizona. You could argue that every other game is a true test that is going to make this team better as this season goes along, especially when they get to the playoffs. It's not necessarily that way the rest of the schedule. 40% of your games versus the Raiders. Only one more game versus the team with a winning record. That's the Chargers. And even if you slip up there, you still got the tiebreaker. It's a good time to be a Chiefs fan. Let's go out to the phone lines. Speaking of Chiefs and the playoffs, let's get Kenny on 610 Sports Radio. Happy Thanksgiving, Kenny. How you doing?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you, Sean. Long time no talk. They need to have you on more often.
I'm trying to tell him, man. Thank you for your kind words. What's going on?
Hey, well, you know, the Chiefs have had success during the regular season, a lot of seasons. You know, this year there's no excuse. I mean, we've had years where we've had ample offense, no defense. You can't force a punt. Times where we had offense, you know, you don't have the defense and vice versa. This year I don't think there's any excuses, Sean. So I just want to know, do you feel that we can finally go deep in the playoffs and finally win that Super Bowl that's eluded us since 1970?
Thanks so much for your kind words and for the phone call, Kenny. Happy Thanksgiving, sir, to you and your family. I do believe it. And I'm a lifelong Chiefs fan like yourself and a lot of people out there listening. And frankly, I've seen some 13-3 Chiefs teams, albeit quarterbacked by Steve Bono and Elvis Gerback. If you can jump in your hot tub time machine, Chiefs fans, those years that I'm talking about, 13-3, number one overall seed, home field advantage at Arrowhead throughout the playoffs. Did you ever really convince yourself, whether in your heart or your head, that that team was going to go out there and win a Super Bowl? If you did, you shouldn't have. Because as Kenny just pointed out, all those teams, including number one overall seeds, had glaring weaknesses. Marty Schottenheimer's teams never had an elite offense. At best, they were middle of the pack. But they had some really, really good defenses. That's why they went to the playoffs almost every single year that Marty was the head coach. Think about Dick Vermeil's offenses, right? There was a back-to-back year stretch where Dick Vermeil's offenses finished second and third in total points in the league. The problem was the defense was atrocious. Think about Andy Reid's teams the last few years, because this is nothing new. I need to do the math, and I choose not to do it right here on live radio, so I'd probably just look like an idiot. Oh, what the hell? Let's do it real quick. Chiefs are 9-2 this year, right? They've won 9 out of 11 games. Last year, what'd they end up going? Julio, were they 11-5 or 10-6 last year? Check that out. I think they finished. So they won that game. They went 10-6. 10-6 last year. The year before that, they were 12-4. And the year before that was the game where they won their last 10 regular season games.
10-6.
Thank you, sir. Let's add that up. 9-2 this year, 10-6 last year, 12-4 the year before that, back-to-back AFC West titles. And then remember, they were 1-5, and then they won their last 10 games of that year before. Let's do some quick math. 10 plus 12 is 22, plus 10 is 32, 41, plus 6, 8. Guys, the Chiefs are 41-12 in their last 53 regular season games. 41-12 in their last 53 regular season games. This is an elite football team by any stretch, by any measurement, by any calculation. Especially based on the schedule that they've already played this season. They're 9-2. The only two teams that have managed to beat the Chiefs, you could argue, are the only two teams that should be favored ahead of them to win the Super Bowl. If the Chiefs lost to Tampa Bay at home, if the Chiefs lost to the Jets on the road or the Browns or the Colts or some of these crappy to middle-of-the-pack teams, then I'd come on the radio and say this team is human. They can go out there and lose. And if we use history as an indicator, I'd come on the radio and say, yeah, you know, they've got this going wrong and that going wrong, and we've seen too many teams in the playoffs, too many Chiefs heartbreaking playoff losses. Well, the truth is, where I am right now, I'm trying to convince myself how this team's not going to get to and win a Super Bowl. Again, the only two teams that have solved the riddle of the 2018 Kansas City Chiefs, the Rams and the Patriots. Literally the favorites out of both their conferences to get to the Super Bowl. And it's not like those teams played the Chiefs on a neutral field like the Super Bowl would be. Or it's not like those teams came into Arrowhead and knocked off the red and gold. It took the New England Patriots, the greatest quarterback and the greatest coach in the history of the game, and Patrick Mahomes doing nothing in the entire first quarter, the full 60 minutes to beat the Chiefs by 3. Does anybody think the Patriots are a better team than the Kansas City Chiefs? How could you possibly say that based on their record and based on what they've done head-to-head? We can keep playing this game. We just watched the Rams beat the Chiefs on Monday night. Does anybody think the Rams are a better football team than the Chiefs because of that? I say no. As a matter of fact, I say hell to the no. You can break it down however you want. The fact the Chiefs were on the road, the fact that the Chiefs have the better head coach with more experience, the better quarterback, the better wide receiver, the better tight end. And the Rams certainly have a better defense because every team in the league pretty much has a better defense. But the Rams gave up 50. Do you think their defensive coordinator is feeling great about himself because his team won the game? Probably not. But that is scary as a Chiefs fan to think that in the postseason, whether they win the division, which in all likelihood they're going to, when the Chargers slipped up to the Broncos this past Sunday, that buried them as far as winning the West. The Chiefs have already beat the Chargers head-to-head. They've got a return visit in about a month at Arrowhead Stadium. And the Chargers' schedule is actually very difficult the rest of the way compared to the Chiefs, where the Chiefs face Oakland, Baltimore, the aforementioned Chargers, Seattle, and Oakland. Based on what they've already done, you go on the road and you beat the Chargers. You go on the road and you beat the Steelers. You pants the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were in last year's AFC Championship game. You beat a really good team handily, like the Cincinnati Bengals at home. There's no reason to think, on paper, that this team isn't going to win out. And if they do, all of a sudden, you're talking about a football team that's got the best record in the history of the franchise, the best quarterback. Sorry if you're listening, Len Dawson, but I'm already ready to say that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the history of the franchise, and a bunch of other teams that do not want to come into Arrowhead Stadium. You think the Chargers want to play the Chiefs in the playoffs? The Chargers haven't beat the Chiefs since Thomas Jefferson was in office. You think that, the Steelers want to face the Chiefs? As I hit puberty on the radio, the Chiefs? The Chiefs went on the road this year, and the fact that Ben Roethlisberger threw for 375 yards didn't even come up because Patrick Mahomes was so good. Trust me, Pittsburgh wants nothing to do with Kansas City. Houston wants nothing to do with Kansas City. The Chargers want nothing to do with Kansas City. You know who else wants nothing to do with the Chiefs? The Patriots. They know it. 576-7610 with your thoughts. You can also hit me up on the text line at 69306. We will keep talking Chiefs the rest of the way. But coming up next, Julio wants to know who's higher right here on 610 Sports Radio. If it's possible to feel better after a loss and your team only has two losses in the entire season, I feel like this is a riddle, almost a test. Nobody wants to take a test on a Thanksgiving morning. But for a team that's 9-2, they're as close to undefeated as you could possibly be. And part of me is actually glad that the Chiefs aren't a perfect 11-0 right now. I mean, let's not pretend like I wasn't going to come on the microphone this Thanksgiving morning and say the Chiefs are going undefeated. If they were 11-0 and they only had to face one more team with a winning record, and that team was the Chargers, who they always beat, and that game was at Arrowhead Stadium, don't get it twisted, guys. You would too. Probably enjoy it a little bit, right? We're all a little bit sick. We're talking about a team that's 16-0, home field advantage, at Arrowhead Stadium in the playoffs, and then the Ravens come to town with a 500 record. Ugh. Sorry, I just vomited in my mouth. I don't know why I had to do that. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Feel free to dial me up at 913-576-7610. Text line 69306. I was talking about the Panthers a few minutes ago. The fact that they're 6-4, but they're literally two plays away from being 8-2, which is kind of the nature of the sport, right? The difference between an 8-8 team and a 10-6 team that ends up in the postseason is usually a bad call by a referee or a good bounce or a ball that deflects off the upright. But by and large, wow. 576-7610. Hit me up also at 69306. This football team is as close to undefeated as you could possibly be. You faced the Rams on the road and went toe-to-toe with them and lost by three in a game that you could have and should have won. On the road against the Patriots, toe-to-toe, you lost by three. If the only way teams are going to beat the Chiefs this year is with home field advantage in a shootout, what happens if the playoffs go through Arrowhead? don't have to go on the road. All of a sudden, the shootout's not so scary. I'm telling you this, guys. If the Chiefs have home field advantage at Arrowhead Stadium, they're going to get to the Super Bowl. I'll say it again. And I know we've seen teams come to Arrowhead before and beat the Chiefs. Even 13-3 number one overall seed Chiefs teams. This team is different. Not only do they have the head coach and the overall talent, but they've got the quarterback. And as much as we've talked about Patrick Mahomes and how this offseason we built him up to the fact that it was going to be almost impossible to live up to our expectations, he's done it times 10. Every time I watch Patrick Mahomes play a football game, he outdoes what he did the week before. We're talking about a game versus the Rams on Monday night where Patrick Mahomes threw for over 470 yards and 6 touchdowns. And we're a little bit upset with him because of those interceptions. That's how good Patrick Mahomes has been. He throws for 6 touchdowns, 400-something yards. Like, yeah, man, but you didn't do this or that. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go out to Clinton and Knobnoster. Happy Thanksgiving, Clinton. How's it going?
Happy Turkey Day.
Same to you.
Yeah, I had a question. So, you know, obviously the offense is proficient, one of the best in the league, if not the best.
Yeah, not too shabby.
Yeah, not too shabby. The defense, all it needs to be is average, and it, at times, it, you know, it looks like it's got some things together, and sometimes it doesn't. But I wondered, okay, let's make the assumption we will be making the playoffs. Who do you think will be the starting inside linebackers? Because last week, I think Ragland played 8 snaps. His snaps didn't reduce. Hitchens with the injury. I think Neiman is getting in there. I was curious what you thought. Who would actually be the starting inside linebacker by the time we get to the playoffs?
Yeah, thanks for the phone call, Clinton, and happy Thanksgiving to you, man. When it comes to Ragland and Hitchens, to me, on the defensive side, are two guys heading into this season that I thought might be the saviors, Clinton. Because I knew that this defense is going to be bad, and here's why I knew. Because they signed David Amerson, and then they cut him. Orlando Scandrick was on the scrap heap, right? They got some guy named Ward from the Cowboys like 10 minutes before the season started. What else? Weird stuff. Bashaud Breeland came to camp, and that didn't work out. There were literally like 10 different moves when it comes to the secondary. We didn't know Eric Berry was going to be day-to-day for going on like a year and a half. Sorensen's injury turned out to be more serious than it had been. On the defensive side of the ball, especially, you trade away Marcus Peters. You re-sign Ron Parker 10 minutes before this. Like, it was obvious to me and probably to you that the defense is going to be really, really bad. Like, as much as we knew the offense was going to be really good, we also knew the defense was going to be really bad. But not so much because of that linebacker core. That's what I felt pretty good about. I thought if all works out well, Justin Houston's healthy, above average at that position. D Ford playing for a contract, all right. But most importantly, the guys that he mentioned, Reggie Ragland and Anthony Hitchens. Reggie Ragland, last year, for guys not named Marcus Peters, was the best player on the Chiefs defense. He was awesome. And frankly, this year, hasn't been quite as good. Maybe it's a health thing. And in the offseason, the Chiefs made a few big acquisitions. In the secondary, they got Kendall Fuller. On the offensive side, they got Sammy Watkins. And then defensively, they signed Anthony Hitchens. And a lot of people made a big deal about the first two. Because you're essentially trying to replace Marcus Peters. And because Sammy Watkins looks the part. Because when he's good, he's great. Team drafted up to get him a few years ago in the top five. Maybe some untapped potential that the Chiefs could get out of him. Not a lot of people talked about Anthony Hitchens. Well, don't look now, but Anthony Hitchens has actually been really, really good, leading this team in tackles. So I think that's the answer to your question when it comes to that linebacker core. 576-7610. You can also hit me up on the text line at 69306. And one last thought about that defense. Two guys have been so much better than I thought they were going to be. I hate to think what the defense would look like had they not performed as they have. Chris Jones, D Ford. I thought Chris Jones had a chance to be pretty good. He was really good as a rookie, and he was decent last year. Chris Jones is going to finish, if he keeps playing the last 5 games of the season like he has the first 11, he's going to finish in the top five for NFL Defensive Player of the Year voting. I know that's a mouthful, but guys, he has 9 sacks through 11 games as a defensive tackle. That's like Haloti Ngata, Aaron Donald type numbers. And then Dee Ford, who also has 9 sacks. Who thought Dee Ford was going to have 9 sacks 11 games in? Let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go out to David in Stewartsville. What's up, David?
Not much, man. How's it going?
I'm doing good, man. What's on your mind?
Well, a little rant about that Chiefs-Rams game.
Go for it, bro.
I just heard you say, I haven't been listening very long. I just hopped in the car. I heard you say, oh, the only way the Chiefs are going to beat the Rams is home field advantage in a shootout. I respectfully disagree. The only reason the Chiefs beat the Rams in L.A. is turnovers. The Chiefs play a clean game on offense. That is a blowout. You take the 21 points away off the turnovers, that's a 51-43 game.
So you're saying, I'm trying to follow you here. And by the way, it couldn't happen. I mean, at this point, you know, the schedule is what it is. The Rams are in the NFC, so they're not coming to Arrowhead in the playoffs or anything that. Maybe they're going to meet up in the Super Bowl. But you're saying that the Chiefs should have ran away with that game.
I am saying the Chiefs should have ran away with that game. Their defense had more stops against the Rams' offense without turnovers than vice versa.
Do you think the Chiefs also should have beat New England earlier this year? Not could have. Do you think they should have, based on the way the game actually played out?
I was betting on the Chiefs, yes. But mostly because the Chiefs, I think the last 3 or 4 meetings only had 1 loss in the regular season against them.
The reason I asked that particular question, David, is because if the only way that teams have figured out to beat the 2018 Kansas City Chiefs is by outscoring them, and what I mean by that is in a shootout, the 2 games the Chiefs have lost this is crazy. The 2 games the Chiefs have lost this season, perfect record. Besides 2 games, and those 2 games that they've lost, they've scored a combined, wait for it, 93 points. In the 2 games the Chiefs have lost, they've scored a combined 93 points. In the NFL, I don't care who you are, what era it is, who your head coach is, if the game's home, road, what the weather is. If you score 30 points, you should almost always win the game. If you score 40 points, hell. I'm talking about you should win 99.9% of games in the NFL when your team scores 40 points. If you score 50, you should win 99.9999999. There should be literally 0.00001% of the time that an NFL team scores 50 points and loses. Here's the problem, guys. That's happened twice, both times. In fact, based on what I've seen, the only way to beat the Chiefs is for a team to be at home, to get into a shootout, and frankly, to have the referees help you a little bit. Come the postseason, if the Chiefs can get home field advantage at Arrowhead, and frankly, they should. As tough as the schedule was at the beginning of the year, it gets much easier these last 5 games where you have 2 games versus the Raiders and only 1 more game versus a team with a winning record. Let's say you win them all. If you win them all, mathematically, nobody can catch you. You finish 14-2, and you have home field advantage throughout at Arrowhead. Yes, we've seen that before. Dave Craig was your quarterback. Trent Green was your quarterback. Steve Bono was your quarterback. Marty Schottenheimer was your coach. Dick Vermeil was your coach. Right now, you've got Andy Reid, been there, done that. You've got Patrick Mahomes. And if you finish 14-2, and Pittsburgh or Houston or New England or the Chargers have to play you in the postseason and the game is at Arrowhead, the Chiefs are winning that game. Flip side, if the Chiefs have to go on the road to New England, on the road to the Chargers, on the road to Houston, to Pittsburgh, it becomes a crapshoot the same way when the Chiefs earlier this year went on the road against New England or what we saw on Monday night. 2 hours in the books, 3 more to go. Coming up next, we're going to finally get into the Les Miles conversation as I think KU got the guy they were actually looking for. And we step back inside the mind of the machine right here on 610 Sports Radio.